You just clicked into the Get Your Money Right podcast, the podcast where we talk about money, cash, and clarity. This is episode number 2. Today, we warn you against hangry spending. Should be fun. Let's get it. NPS.
We're talking about money, cash. I said we're talking about money, cash.
What's the good news, people? Welcome back. If this is your first time, you have just checked into the Get Your Money Right podcast. This is episode number 2. We are just 1 week old at the recording of this episode, and we made it. Right, first week was pretty good. We started off, we did break 100 downloads, so thank you everybody for listening, spreading the word. Thank you guys for the ratings and reviews. That is so much appreciated. That's how we're going to keep growing and get the word out and spread our message and keep flowing. So, man, thank you so much. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Jamar Dupas. I am the Money Misfit, and this is my new show. And what we do here is we talk about really 4 major subjects, right? Lifestyle design. We talk about money management. We talk about marriage and leaving a legacy. You know, those are kind of the 4 pillars of that I personally kind of build upon. But that's what we talk about mainly in the show. And it's all out of, you know, with the focus on cash and clarity, having that vision of where you want to go and what you want your money to do for you. And so episode number 1, we talked about the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And just to kind of recap on that, we basically went through the first chapter and we learned a few of the lessons about how the rich don't work for money. We talked about the difference between assets and liabilities and how so many people do get that idea wrong. We talked about the difference between how the poor, rich, and middle class spend their money. It's very unique, but it's a great perspective. We talked about starting businesses, corporations, and taxes. We even talked about Beyonce. That's right. On a financial podcast, we talked about Beyonce. If you want to hear about that, just go to the episode number 1. You'll be able to hear what we're talking about. And, you know, the last episodes were very forward-thinking. And most of these episodes are always going to be pretty forward-thinking. And hopefully they gave you some ideas or at least some things to ponder on it and maybe talk to other people about. But you might be asking or saying, you know, all that sounds good. And things are looking differently and I'm looking at things differently and whatnot. But how can I make the most out of what I earn today, if anything, right? So today our focus will be on that. Now, I'm going to give you plenty to think about, and it's always going to be plenty to talk about with loved ones, but I think it'd be wrong or even naive of me on my part to just talk in theories and philosophies and not give you some concrete, practical steps. So we're going to try to do a lot of that today. Not too much of it. But as always, like the great carpenter from Galilee, who spoke in stories and parables over 2,000 years ago, I'm going to do my best to do the same. You know, I heard a mentor of mine state that, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words, but 1,000 words don't always paint a picture. So what I want to do is try to paint a beautiful picture for you so you can kind of get this. Because I'm a visual person. And so, which is weird that I'm a visual person doing an audio podcast where there are no visuals whatsoever here. But I'm going to do my best to paint a picture for you. But, you know, let's be honest, right? This whole money thing, anybody can be pretty good with money, right? It's a real simple equation. You take what you earn, you spend less of it, and then you just do wise things with the difference, right? This isn't rocket surgery, but somehow we get in trouble, right? It's like going grocery shopping. You know, going grocery shopping is a pretty basic thing, right? We know how to do it, right? But how many times have you gone to the grocery store hungry? Or you didn't have a plan, and in turn, not having a plan, you spend most of your time traveling up and down the center lanes, right, doing the wrong things. And for those of you who didn't know, that's not how you're supposed to grocery shop. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, I know, but at least now you know, right? And for those of you who don't know that, I'm going to have to charge you double of the price of what it costs for you to listen to this podcast, because now not only are you going to learn about money, but you're going to learn about how to make groceries. And yes, I said make groceries for all my up north people up there who got a problem with us down south country folks and how we say make groceries. But anyway, so when you go into the grocery store, right, or pretty much almost anything really, but the key to getting the most out of your dollar and experience when you're getting food at the grocery store is to do the opposite of what I just described, right? What you want to do is go in with a plan, preferably a meal plan. I had some partners that used to go to the grocery store and they had different plans. They were trying to get dates and holler at gals and blah, blah, blah. But what I'm talking about is going to the grocery store to get food, right? And when you go there and you have a plan, you preferably want to shop on the outer aisles or the perimeter of the store. Because if you've never paid attention to it, that's where all the real food typically is, right? And please, 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 please don't go in there hungry, right? Because nobody, I mean nobody, makes good decisions when they're hungry. I mean, even Snickers has a whole marketing campaign about people being not even being themselves when they're hungry, right? So don't ever go to a grocery store or any place, really, when you're hungry, because nobody wants you in there all hangry and stuff. So, but anyway, so today what we're going to do is going to talk about the equivalent of going to make groceries while hungry, zigging up and down the aisles without a plan. And again, don't criticize me because I say making groceries, right? But before we get into that, first what I want to say is this podcast is brought to you by YourMoneyRight.com. And really it's brought to you by you for listening and supporting the show. So if you've ever wanted to know how you can support the show, here's how you can do it, right? I probably said it 100 times, but if you haven't already, please consider subscribing to the show in iTunes, right? Because the goal is for us to get into the new and noteworthy section of iTunes. And what that does is that increases our exposure exponentially. And if you listen to episode 00, I talked about the vision of the show. If that's something you think that people need or something you think you can get behind, I really would appreciate it if you could go there and leave a rating and review, because what happens is how to get into new and noteworthy. One, you need to have a great show, right? So if it's not a great show, let me know. The show needs to be useful. It needs to have lots of downloads and a lot of 5-star ratings and reviews. Also, there's a benefit to subscribing. If you do subscribe to the show, you actually will never miss a show. And every time a new show comes out, it'll just pop up into your feed and you don't have to worry about finding it or seeing if I share it on Facebook or something like that. And if you want to go ahead and do that, you can click on a link that's right there in the description on the podcast app. If you're on your iPhone, there's a link that says you can leave a rating review. If you're not, or if you prefer to go a different route, you can go over to yourmoneyright.com/review. That's yourmoneyright.com/review. And that'll take you right to where you can subscribe and leave a review. It's like 23 seconds. That's all it takes. But anyway, let's get on with the show. Let's talk about money. So food and money, right? Interesting concept, but they are alike in that when you're dealing with them, you first, to get the most out of them, you first want to make a few assumptions and lay some groundwork, right? So let's get real basic, right? First question is, what do we want our food to do for us in the first place? Right? First and foremost, we wanted to nourish our bodies. Food was created to give us energy to do work, maintain homeostasis, help us grow, get stronger, look good in our birthday suits, which, you know, makes for a good long life, right? It even does more than that though, right? So it even like does things outside of the body. It's good for our soul, right? We commune and gather around food. And then there's that enjoyment in food itself. So, but there's one more thing around food that you may not have thought of. Because let's face it, you know, in America, we got it good here, right? When it comes to access to food. But what I'm referring to is obtaining food independence. And this is when you have to learn to get your food to beget more food. So you're not solely dependent on your neighborhood grocery store or lack thereof to get food, to get good quality food. So with that being said, let's draw the parallel with money. Again, the first question is, what do we want our money to do for us in the first place? Right. First place, meaning first, you know, priority, prime, preeminence, precedence, precursor, principle. You get the point, right? Pun intended. So the first thing is, you know, generally is shelter, you know, food, transportation, air conditioning, you know, our first world necessities. Then there's entertainment and there's education. Do you want to maybe find somebody to marry so you can share your birthday suit with? Not until you're married. And then there's other things that are good for the soul, right? Like food, but things like giving, building community, leaving an inheritance. And of course, there's that whole thing, money making more money for you. And if you can get your money to make more money that's sufficient enough to remove your dependency on someone else to provide it for you, that's what we call financial independence. So that's a goal, right? It's probably one of those worthy goals to shoot for, but that's definitely a goal of mine. And I think most people listening to this show here. But when we look at those things, as far as shelter, food, transportation, entertainment, education, marriage, giving, leaving an inheritance, those are the things that I think we can all agree on are the financial foundational pieces, right? So we can agree that these are foundational. But before we dig into that, let's go back into the food. Now, when you think about food, there's really only a few major food groups that make up the perimeter or the outside of the grocery store. You have your grains, your fruits and vegetables. These are the stuff that you probably should eat more of, right? These things provide your carbs, your vitamins and minerals. Then if you keep going, typically you have your meats and fish, dairy, you know, other things like that. So generally these are the things that at some point they had life, right? They were alive or provided life or had life. This is real food, right? Food that came from the earth, right? So those are what these things are. So the point is they aren't overly manufactured. They aren't overly processed. These are the things that are basics because these are the things that make up a healthy diet. And yes, quantities and all that stuff, they all matter. But the point is that you need to take these things in first for a complete and healthy diet. There are things you can add to that, but these are the basic. These are the foundational. These are the bottom of the pyramid. These are the things that provide, they provide energy to work, maintain homeostasis, help us grow, get stronger, help your body defend itself, and look good in your birthday suit, right? So, and my fitness folks who know what they're talking about will tell you that 11 times out of 10, you ain't getting no gains without these basic building blocks, right? I don't care what supplements that Muscle Madness magazine sold you or all this other stuff you think you need to take. If you don't get these things, the basics, any of these gains that you think you've gained will be short-lived. You're either going to injure yourself, you're going to get sick as a dog, or you're going to flat out deflate or inflate, depending on the weather, I guess. Depends on what new crash diet that you may be on at the time. But we're going to get back on that, right? So back to money. Let's make this parallel. So the equivalent in money will be the basics of a healthy financial diet, so to speak, right? First, do you have an income? If not, get you an income, right? Then we hit the basics. Food, shelter, transportation, if necessary. You know, the first world necessities that we talked about. Now, some of your money should be allocated for that, right? Naturally, we all know how to do that. But what about the other basics that we agree that are foundational and fundamental? The things that constitute a healthy and complete life: growth, defense of your own self, right? Getting better, giving, leaving your kids' inheritance. If you're into that type of thing, right? How much of your income should be allocated purposefully to these foundational things? One of the cool things about life and the way this the way it's all designed, right, is that if you plant a seed of something, it will grow if planted in the right soil and tended to properly, right? But not only will it grow, but the most fascinating part of that is when it grows, it becomes fruitful. It gives you back exponentially more than what you put into it, right? So let me give you a couple examples, right? If you look at corn, right, you could take a single kernel and one head of corn gives you how many kernels? I don't know. I'm not even gonna try to guess, but a lot, right? You've had corn on the cob. You see how many kernels are in there, right? Another example is a single apple seed, right? A single apple seed can grow an apple tree, right? And then that apple tree will give you a gazillion apples every year for however many years that this apple is going to be around. We see this all the time with especially, and the reason why I said I use fruit trees is because that whole picture thing, it's something we can see. You can take a single seed and see how much fruit you can get from it because that's the way the world is designed, right? But what if we didn't plant seeds? What if we just ate all the seeds? Right? Have you ever felt stagnant in life? You ever felt like, you know, you should be further along than where you are? If you felt like no one would ever give you a break, I want you to think about your seeds that you've been given in life, right? And what you've done with them. I've had a ton of conversations with friends about these very things, and even more conversations with myself, right? As it relates to my own stagnation, excuse me, I can't speak today, and my sense of lack. And when I look back, I can correlate my lack of allocating my resources to these foundational areas of growth giving, relationship development, things like that, to when I really didn't feel like I had much, right? But today, as I learned these things, and today as I've been applying them and see them today, I see the benefits, right? When the wife and I, we get a dollar, these foundational areas, they get a seat at the table first. There are no ifs, ands, or buts, right? These are the things that sit down at the table and they get allocated for first. It's very much like the major topics of this podcast: lifestyle design, money management, marriage, and legacy. Of course, this wasn't always the case, and we had to do a lot of correcting of past mistakes before we can get to that point. But today, not a single dollar comes in this house without first being sliced up into these buckets. And it's done like this on purpose for a reason. And throughout this podcast and different classes and things we're going to do, we're going to really dig into that. And if you are interested in us digging further into it, just check out the show notes or send me an email or hit me up on Twitter or Facebook. Let me know. And I'll have a way for you guys in the show notes to, you know, give me some feedback. And if enough people want to do that, we'll go through that. Me and my wife will sit, we will actually go through and let you all up in our business and sit down and show you how we do things. But back to these foundational things being like the perimeter items in a grocery store, you know, it's wise to shop there and it's wise to spend most of your time there because as opposed to the middle aisles, stuff down the middle aisles are generally food-like substances, right? They're empty calories and quick fixes that seem to satisfy you, but generally they leave you craving more, right? There are these things that you didn't really want to buy. You came in for something else, but through good marketing and eye-pleasing visuals, you know, they get us to buy. And they always seem to be cheap or not a big deal or cost-efficient, but in the long run, they cost us a lot more than the initial price. This is equivalent to going to like a dealership and getting that car that you quote, unquote, needed at the time. But the salesperson got you a good deal with the payments that you want, but you know deep down inside you didn't need that car, right? You didn't really even want those payments. And when you look at the entire cost, you just shake your head. But maybe, you know, maybe you're thinking, Jamar, I ain't even personal car, so I don't know what you're talking about. But maybe you've gone shopping, right? And you spent the money that you didn't intend to spend. Got that bigger flat screen or furniture you didn't want to get initially, but because they offered you, you know, like a no payments for 98 month plan or something like that. And ladies, shoes, bags, you know, or if you like me, you know, I used to go to the clubs back in the day, right? And my bar tab would be nothing less than $100. Basically, what do all these things have in common? They're usually done on impulse in an attempt to fill some type of void. They are what people call these feel good purchases, but without the true intention, they become empty, right? And after you get it home, or after it's over with, you know, these quick fixes or whatever, you just kind of have that buyer's remorse and they end up costing you a lot more than in the long run than you initially expected. So the question is, when is it okay to go down the middle aisle? So is it ever okay to go down the middle aisle, right? Well, the answer is, of course, right? You're grown. You can do what you want. It's your money. You can go down whatever aisle you want. This isn't the place or the podcast where I'll condemn you for doing anything, but just everything's in moderation, right? I just believe it just may behoove you to stay out of the middle aisle until you take care of the basics first. Remember, first things first. From a healthy foundation and a healthy body can handle, for example, a whole bag of Skittles. Then you can backdoor some popcorn and then some cotton candy. And of course, you know, you get that Diet Coke icy on the side, right? Your body can handle that from a healthy perspective. Now, a sick body or a diseased body probably can't afford that. Well, it could probably afford it, right? Meaning it would live, you know, because the body was miraculously created. But we got to know that we're pushing it, right? It's the same way with the financial body. Sure, we can go down the center aisles and probably be able to afford it. You can survive, but you just created more dis-ease for an already uncomfortable financial situation. So hopefully that makes sense. Hopefully all my rambling makes sense there. So the question is, what's so bad about going to the grocery store when you're hungry? You know, well, this one's pretty easy because, you know, quite simply put, nobody makes good decisions when they're hungry, when they're starving. You know, the kids nowadays, I believe, they use the term thirsty. Walking in without a plan, going up and down the center aisles while you're hungry is a trap, period, dot the end. This is financially equivalent to being so hungry for money that we do stupid things to satisfy this thirst. And I'm not saying hunger is bad, but like any feeling, maturity is just simply acknowledging that emotion and then continuing on doing what you feel like you should be doing regardless, right? That's the sign of maturity. Things we wouldn't normally do because we're desperate is the problem. It's like that girl that you were chasing back in the gap, right? You wanted her so bad, but she just wasn't into you. You're chasing her, but what happened is you chasing her just made her run, right? Bad decision. You being all thirsty, as the kids say, you know, being anxious and desperate looking. But then once you let her go, right, and you focus on what you're supposed to be doing, you follow your own path, stay in your own lane, she became attracted to you. Money is the same way, right? The good book says your talents will make room for you. So if you focus on that, because money, like women, aren't to be chased and caught, but they're to be attracted, drawn in. And there's nothing more attractive than someone who is in their zone, living, walking it out, right? So what's the problem with going to the grocery store without a plan? I'm not sure if I should even spend much time on this, but let me start by saying this. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Hate to be all cliche on you, but that's the truth. Most people don't think about a plan when hitting the grocery store because, for the most part, we're used to doing it, right, and without one. So since, you know, it hadn't left us homeless, we feel no sense of urgency to change. It's usually when major financial troubles or illnesses hit us when we wake up to a need to plan for, you know, something as simple as a grocery trip. But if you look at your financial life, you know, holistically, what you eat and you know, how you eat affects your health and is hands down the most important asset you have is your health, especially in terms of when it comes to developing your wealth. You got to have your health. Today, most people never even reach financial independence, and mainly because they have no plan for it. But even those that do, a large percentage of them spend much of their wealth trying to hold on to some semblance of health, right? Remember in episode 00, I talked about the risk of listening to the show. Now you know most people who reach financial independence by neglecting their health are now spending their fortunes trying to hold on to health. Let us not neglect, right? These subjects are so tightly related, it's hard to retract this to a financial example. But quite simply put, if you have no plan for your money, someone else has a plan for your money. And guess what they got planned for it? Not much. Not much for you anyway. You know, the entire marketing and banking system banks on the fact that we have no plan for our money. The banks want you to stay ignorant and depend on them for your financial literacy. They're the ones that want your money locked up in a 401k for 40 years while you're taking even longer to pay off debt. Wall Street came up with the idea that you should invest for the long term so they can have endless flow of contributions to charge fees on. Investment brokers want you to diversify. But when you look at it, the very idea that they want you to diversify is admitting that they have no idea what's going to happen. So they take the shotgun approach. Close your eyes, point and shoot, and see if you hit something. It's that old throw the mud at the wall and see what sticks type of deal. And don't get me started with the whole average rate of return numbers that they always throw at us. I'll save that for a later show. But regardless of what you decide to do, have a plan, right? That's the whole purpose of this. You know, I went round about talking about groceries and food and all that stuff, but the point is you need to have a plan. Because when you don't have a plan to spend, basically when you don't have a plan to spend it, you spend out of fear and you spend out of greed, and neither of those ever lead you to a good place, right? And, you know, asset allocation is something you should look into, and it's not just for portfolios. It's one of the most important things you can do with your money. I think Warren Buffett said that. And that includes allocating every dollar you get, if you ask me, because a dollar is an asset, right? Your time is an asset. Your energy is an asset. The relationships you have, your health. Look, it sucks working as hard as we do to feel like at the end of the day, we got nothing to show for it. That sucks. It sucks just after 1 week. It sucks after just a month. But if we don't do anything about it now, just think about how sick we'll feel. We look back at the end of our lives, the end of our long lives, still with nothing to show for it. Or even worse, what if we get called up sooner than expected? And we leave our family in even a worse position? That's morbid, I know. But it's reality, and nobody gets out of this life alive. That's the truth. So what can you do, right? Well, I can tell you what we do. When we sit down and we talk about our money, we go over our plan, right? We ask, what does this dollar need to do for us until the next time we get paid or the next time we sit down and we have our coffee and cash flow session? We have a very simple framework where every dollar that comes in is chopped up into these major categories or buckets, what we like to call them. We have a tithe bucket, necessities bucket. We have a financial freedom or an opportunity bucket. We've got a big spending or a contingency bucket. We have a getting better bucket, and we have a baller bucket. And these buckets constitute basically our values and what's important to us. Now, each individual or each individual marriage may be different, but basically you want a plan that provide an environment for growth, you know, for protection, to make sure you don't lose your money, because that's part of it. You want to be able to play, because if you don't play, if you don't enjoy your money, you're going to find a way to get rid of it anyway. You got to have a plan that covers your necessity and a plan that helps you achieve your dreams. Unless you're really not into it. If you're listening to this show and you don't have a lot of ambitions, this probably will make you a little uneasy. Either you'll get some ambitions or we're going to empower your ambitions. But those are the basic things. And I hope that helps, you know. And if you don't have a plan or you're really confused about how to get a plan, you can get with a qualified financial advisor. Or a coach or someone you trust that you know that's doing it right. Now, I'm no financial advisor, but I can tell you we like to start with the type of lifestyle that we want to have first. And I know that sounds broad, but very little of this matters if you have no idea what you want the end result to look like. It has to be worth it. It has to be worth your while for you to even start, or you just won't do it. But get with somebody who's qualified to do this. And I know a lot of people out there that are financial advisors that are just salespeople. You got to have some discernment on that, right? If they first thing they come in and they want to sell you some life insurance and some, you know, this and that, and they call themselves a financial advisor, you might want to think twice about that. But the point is you got to get some clarity about what it is you want to do. And then understand what you want your money to do. Just like you want to understand what you want your food to do, you want to understand what you want your money to do, and then you point your money in that direction so it works for you to accomplish what it is that you want to accomplish. I really do hope that helps. That's the end of the show, guys. Thank you so much for listening to episode number 2. Next episode, we're going to talk about some good stuff. Next episode, we're going to talk about his and her money. There's been a lot of questions coming up about whether or not we should have married people should have joint accounts or separate accounts. We're going to tackle that. And that's going to be a lot of fun because I got a lot of opinions on that. And I think you're going to like it. But anyway, thank you so much for listening to the show. This has been episode number 2 of the Get Your Money Right podcast. If you like the show, once again, you can leave a rating and review on iTunes. That would greatly help. Or give me your feedback. If you got some topics you want me to talk about, let me know. I love to talk about them. And come over onto the website at yourmoneyright.com. Over there, you'll be able to check out the show notes. I have links to all the things we've referenced today. And hopefully that'll be helpful for you. So in closing, guys, remember, I truly believe we're not good with money because we don't talk about money. It's time to change that. Thanks again for listening, and God bless. I said we're talking about money, 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 cash, cash, cash. I said we're talking about money.